Grace to you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On October 20th of 1991, my family and I came out of our church there in San Francisco to the smell of smoke in the air. We also saw pieces of burned newspaper and ash falling from the sky and into our church parking lot. We didn't know where it was all coming from until we looked across the bay and we saw large amounts of smoke billowing out of the hillsides of Oakland. Within a few hours, the small Oakland grass fire of 1991 had become a consuming firestorm, swallowing up everything in its path, driven by wind gusts of up to 65 miles per hour. The fire began to destroy houses at the rate of one house every 11 seconds. By the first hour, the firestorm had consumed nearly 790 structures. By the time the fire was finally brought under control, days later, it had killed 25 people, injured another 150, and destroyed over 2,800 single-family homes and over 400 apartment and condominium units. The fire was so destructive that it was difficult to determine whose home had been where, because everything that served as markers for the properties in the neighborhoods had been thoroughly destroyed. It was a totally consuming fire. And it is that picture of an all-encompassing, completely devastating, totally consuming fire that Moses used to describe God as he warned the Israelites not to make idols for themselves, but rather to worship God and to worship God alone. He said this in Deuteronomy 4. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And these are the words then quoted by the writer to the Hebrews, which we had as our epistle reading for this morning. As he warns the people to make sure that they worship God with reverence and with awe. Those words of Moses are both powerful and perilous. And they remind us of the destructive potency of God's wrath. Something that I believe is lost on many folks today. Perhaps lost on many of us too. We spend so much time talking about God in relation to his grace, our loving Father, our Abba, our Daddy Father, our friend, our good shepherd, our great physician, our guiding light, our shelter from the storm, our bridegroom, that we completely downplay or maybe even forget talking about God in relation to the law as our judge in terms of his anger and wrath and jealousy. The God that we worship as our loving shepherd, the one who leads us beside still waters and who restores our soul, is also the God who destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by raining down fire from heaven, who drowned all but 8 of the inhabitants of the earth by sending 40 days of rain upon the earth, who had 3,000 Israelites killed in one day because they worshiped a golden calf, and who struck down Ananias and Sapphira where they stood in their tracks for lying to the Lord. Lest we make light of our sin and choose to live lives that do not honor God and which are not obedient to God, we must remember that our God is a consuming fire. There is no hiding from his wrath or escaping his judgment. Those who choose defiance over obedience, their own way over God's way, arrogance over reverence, they will know the destructive force of God's wrath. For our God is most certainly a consuming fire. We have in our congregation a couple of families who have experienced the all-consuming nature of fire. And one of them, who actually went through a firestorm much like the one that I described at the beginning of our message this morning, on September 4th of 2011, as the Bastrop fire raged out of control, the Risto family had mere minutes to grab what they could and to flee for their lives. When all was said and done, they returned to complete devastation. Their home had been totally consumed, except in the midst of the ash, they found this little cross. A little cross which had hung above their sink in their kitchen. A reminder to them of God's presence and his power and his love. A massive fire could consume and destroy everything that they had accumulated as a family in their lives. But it could not take from them that which had been won for them by Jesus Christ through his death on the cross, namely the forgiveness of their sins. And thus they were still, as that little cross reminded them, blessed. Just as that cross was a symbol of hope and promise for the Risto family, so the cross of Jesus is our hope and our promise to protect us from the firestorm of God's wrath also. It is only because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and through his death and resurrection, that we are spared from the all-consuming fire of God's judgment. We can look to God as our loving Father, as our Abba Daddy Father, as our friend, as our good shepherd, as our great physician, as our guiding light, as our shelter from the storm, as our bridegroom. Only and always because of Jesus. Because he bore the firestorm of God's wrath for us, and thus he has forgiveness of our sins. The consuming fire of God's judgment has and will pass us by, both in time and in eternity, because of our Savior Jesus, because of what he did for us on the cross. And while that is most certainly good news, great news, it should not cause us then to regard God with a somewhat less than reverent, awe-filled disposition. In fact, just the opposite is true. And thus the writer to the Hebrews stated this. He said, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Yes, God is our loving Father and our faithful friend. But he is also the King of creation and the sovereign Lord of the universe. He sees and he knows everything. He is above all and in all and works through all. He gives life to our mortal bodies. He speaks to the wind and the waves and they obey him. He gives orders to the morning and makes the sun to set on another day. All power and glory and honor belong to him. And thus may we, each and every day that we have life and breath within us, regard him with the reverence and the awe that he deserves. Not only because of who he is, namely an all-consuming fire, but also and especially because of what he has done for us in his son Jesus. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.